Jesus' name. So, what we've been thinking about in our Sunday school, thinking about Jesus and the work of Jesus, and certainly glad we can look into the book of Hebrews, and I guess I wish we had twice as many lessons in Hebrews than we do, so we could somehow catch at least more of it than we are. Glad for what, but I'm certainly glad to look into the book of Hebrews. Lots of truths there for us. Yesterday I was driving, went past the fairgrounds, and there were all those people going into the fair. And I was so glad that we are not allowed to go to the fair. I'm glad we have a rule about it, you know, that we're not supposed to go there. It's not that I was wishing I could go to the fair and then I remember we had a rule and we couldn't. That's not what was happening, okay? Because I wasn't wishing I could go to the fair, but there is because it's I'm not gonna. I could question whether I should go to the fair or not, but because there's that rule there, I'm not going to anyway. Okay, I just was glad for the rule, even though I wasn't really tested to tempt to test the rule at all. But I was glad for that rule and that understanding. We don't go to the fair, and it wasn't a decision I had to make. No, actually, I did have to make it, but there was that help from the brethren that, you know, we've decided we're not going to do this. It's not a good thing. And I fully support it. Very glad for that. And I'm also glad for brethren to walk this road with me as I walk my Christian life, that helped me in this. And this is just one small illustration. Many, many illustrations I could think of that were brethren walk this Christian life with me, and you're a blessing to me because of that. In many, many different ways that you are. And I appreciate being able to worship with you and be a part of the family of God with you together. This morning, for a message, I'm going to turn to Revelation 5, okay? You may say, we just had that in devotions. Daniel did, I know. So that's a little strange. But this thought, was born there, and I want to talk about it. And I've entitled my message, The Witness of 100 Million Angels. The Witness of 100 Million Angels, that's in Daniel, or Revelation 5, verse 11 and 12. Now let me read these verses. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the numbers of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Here in Daniel Revelation 5, we have worship of God, just pouring out uninhibited worship and praise to God. I believe this is picturing a future event, but we have here this worship of God. We have in verse 8, we have the 24 elders as they worship God. In verse 11, we have the 100 million angels as they worship God. In verse 13, we have every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and as such as are in the sea and all that is in them. And they are worshiping God. And so this is It's a wonderful, joyous experience there in heaven. And I believe it's our highest experience as we engage in worship. And of course, if that worship is of God, is to God, then our worship is directed to the right place. And it is worthwhile. And so it's a beautiful picture as these groups worship the one who is worthy of worship. Now, we have this phrase here speaking about the number of angels. It says in verse 11, it says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And we thought about that. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. And I believe that's right. We could ask, how many angels is that? You know, Jesus, the Jews said God has 906,000 million angels. I don't know who came up with that number or why they say this number. I don't know why they say this number. That's many, many angels that they say God has. And again, I don't know how they came up with that number. 906,000 million angels. But they say that's how many angels stand constantly before God. Again, I don't know how they come up with that number. Or if it's right, I'm sure, I certainly don't know if it's right. But here it mentions 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Okay, it goes on and says and thousands of thousands. Now, 100 million angels does sound like a lot of angels, and it is. And it would be just wonderful to hear them worship. But if there's 7 billion people in the world, and there's 100 million angels, that would only be what? There wouldn't be enough angels to reach around for every person, would there? There'd only be one angel for every 70 people. And we don't believe that's how it is, do we? Even though 100 million angels is an awful lot of angels. But this phrase here, 10,000, I'm told, is the highest Greek mathematical number that they had. That was the highest number they had. And so I don't think it necessarily represents the specific number of 100 million, although that certainly gives you the idea. It's many, many, many. I don't think necessarily represents specifically 100 million angels, but rather it's the largest number times the largest number, which would be, how big is that? Well, I don't know how big that is, because that's why they used the largest number times the largest number. And then they said plus and thousands of thousands. So I'll be using the term 100 million angels, but I believe the number actually represents an innumerable company of angels. And we see this number coming up earlier in the scriptures in Daniel 7. In Daniel 7, verse 9 and 10, the same number is used. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 10,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And so here we have this same number, if you want to use it that way. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And again, here again, I don't believe it represents a specific number of 100 million, but rather an innumerable company of people stood before him. Okay, well, let's look back in Revelation 5 at the message of the angel's message. And I refer to it as the angel's message, it does say in verse 11, many angels sit around the throne and the beast and the elders. It does mention the beast and the elders as part of this group of people, a group. I'm going to refer to them primarily as angels. Because we know the beasts were four and the elders were 24. But what is the angel's message? In verse 12, we read the message. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Those angels, that this innumerable company of angels, 100 million angels, as they stood there, around the throne. There they stood around the throne and they said, "The Lamb, worthy is the Lamb." And that was the primary message. They were saying, "The Lamb is worthy to receive." And then has this list of seven things that he is worthy to receive. He's worthy to receive power. He's worthy to receive riches. He's worthy to receive wisdom. He's worthy to receive strength. And I'm not sure exactly what the difference is between strength and power, but it doesn't really matter that much. Well, it probably matters, but I can't really explain what the difference is there. But he's worthy to receive strength. He's worthy to receive honor. He's worthy to receive glory. And he's worthy to receive blessings. And They were willing to heap this praise on Jesus, on the Lamb, because of who he was. Now we could ask the question, how long had they known Jesus? And here at this time, at this point, I don't know how long they were familiar with Jesus, because I don't know when the angels came into being. I just don't know. I know some people suggest they came into being the same time that the world was created, and I don't mind that idea, but I don't know how you can say that. I don't know what you could use to verify that. So I don't know how long they've known Jesus. But they've known him here at this point for at least 6,000 years, because this is before the 1,000-year reign. They've known him for at least 6,000 years, and they see him. They dwell with him. They live with him. They know who he is. They saw his glory with the Father before he came down to earth. They saw that. We know Jesus had glory before he came. And here we see the angels saying he's worthy of glory, more glory. But he did have glory before he came. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so Jesus was crowned with glory, and then the angels saw his humiliation. They saw him as he came down to earth. They saw him. We know they saw him. They saw him as he was born in a stable there in Bethlehem, in that poor family of Joseph and Mary. They saw him there as a carpenter, as he worked, as he labored to earn a living, to meet the needs of his family, his parents, his brothers and sisters, and whatever he was ministering to there. They saw him laboring there. They saw his miracles as he lived among us, as he showed to us his power, but as he showed to us his love, because all his miracles were shown to us in an expression of love to us and in kindness to us. It wasn't something to bring glory to himself, but not a self-centered way. It was to show to us also that he was the Son of God. But it was miracles of love to us. They saw his rejection as we, his created beings, questioned him, didn't receive him, despised him, and rejected him. And they saw, of all things, they saw his crucifixion. And that we, his created beings, he was the one who made us, and yet they saw as we took him and nailed him to a cross and set him up there between heaven and earth. They saw all of that. And they saw him as he came as a lamb, meek and lowly, as a servant. And as they saw that, then their response is what we read here in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 5. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He is worthy." They saw who he was, and they knew that he was worthy of that exaltation. And he shall be exalted. Paul talks about that in Philippians 2. I guess I'll read just a few verses there in Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. Because he came, he is worthy of exaltation. Philippians 2, verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus, God himself, has exalted him and given him a name above every name, that every knee should bow to him. We are individuals who can choose whom we will worship, but that will come to an end, and we will bow to him, and we will confess that he is Lord. Now, he was exalted before he came. He received glory before he came to earth. Then he went through this experience on earth, and he returned to heaven. But here, as the angels worship him in Revelation 5, They say he is, again, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. He is, again, they say, worthy to receive all of those things. And we see that he is going to receive those things not only in heaven, but also on earth. And in Revelation 19, we see him coming to receive the glory that is due his name here on this earth. In Revelation 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." And so here it was, he was coming to make war, but he had on his head many crowns, many diadems, signs of royalty, signs of a ruler, signs of a sovereign. And he's coming to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. That's what he's coming to receive. And that's what the angels were announcing and praising him for. And in verse 16, "And he hath on his vest and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He is highly exalted. I'm not trying to suggest that this is the only place Jesus will be highly exalted, but he will be exalted here on the earth, just like he was humiliated here. He will be exalted here. And so we have the witness of the 100 million angels. And they say, "Worthy is the Lamb." In verse 13, let me read verse 13. "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and which are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And here we have every creature. And I like how he describes where they were. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth. I like that description. "And such as are in the sea and all that are in them." And he seems like he wants to make sure we understand it is every creature. I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And so we have every creature that is in heaven and in earth worshiping him as well and giving him praise and glory. And this morning I want to ask you, are you giving him what is your testimony? Are you giving him that same worship that these angels are and these all the creatures under heaven are? Are you giving him that same worship? In verse 8 and 9, let's read these verses. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials, full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now here we have the four beasts and the 24 elders, which I believe represent the church. And they're singing a new song. They pour out the golden vials, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing this new song and they praise him. They praise him. And they say, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." But he says, "And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And they were worshiping him because they were redeemed by God. Now, the angels were not redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And yet they worshiped him with all their heart. They worshiped him and gave him glory. But here are we, and we have been the recipients of his goodness, but we have also been redeemed by his blood. We have been redeemed by his blood. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for you. He left heaven for you. He made this earth for you. Not for the angels. He made it for us. His angels minister to us. All those myriads of angels, the 100 million angels, they minister to us. He gave us sonship, that we should be the sons of God. The angels don't have that. He gives us his daily mercies. Every day we receive his mercies. And those angels worship him, and we should worship him as well. How much more so if they worship him, how much more so that we do? And do you worship him? Do you appreciate him? Are you committed to him? Are you devoted to him? Are you excited about him? Are you willing to serve him? Oh, that we would understand the redemption that we have, or that we'd understand the goodness of God, or we'd understand the greatness of God, or we'd understand the opportunities that we have, and that we would worship him and not got sidetracked by the other things that can distract us. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Not only did he redeem us, but he made us unto our God kings and priests. And not only that, but we shall reign with him on the earth. That is what he is going to do for us. That is what he has done for us. He has redeemed us. Not all the angels of God have chosen to worship him. In Revelation 12, verse 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Another sign in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So here we have this red dragon, which we know is the devil and Satan. And it says his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And you know, while it's not perfectly clear what that means, it strongly suggests that he drew the third part of the angels, the stars of heaven. That he drew the angels, and some of the angels followed him. And in verse 9 of the same chapter in Revelation 12, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So large number of angels. A third of the stars of heaven, you would have to say 50 million angels. But certainly we're not holding it to that number. But they rejected God. And they are evil. And they are at war with God. That's what they are. They're at war with God. They are fighting against God. They want to destroy God. They want to destroy Jesus. They want to destroy the people that God made. They want to destroy the earth that God made. They want to do whatever. They're against God. Yes, they're at war with God. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels prevailed not, neither was their place found for them anymore. Yes, there was war in heaven. And while this sounds like a specific war to me, I don't know what it sounds like to you, but it sounds like a specific war, there, the devil is at war with God. And he has been at war with God ever since he was cast out of heaven. Well, and the devil wants us to worship him. There in Matthew 4. There in the temptation of Jesus, the devil wants us to worship him. There in Matthew 4, verse 8, this is during the temptation of Christ. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's what he wants. He wants the worship. He wants the praise. He wants the glory. He wants all the angels of God to be singing his praises. He wants all the people of the world to be worshiping him. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And that is who we are to worship. We're to worship the Lord our God, and him only should we serve. Well, we have this witness of this 100 million angels as they stand around the throne and they sing praises to him, and we can join them in worshiping God. They haven't been redeemed. They haven't received the blessings that we have, and yet they know who he is. and they worship him. How much more so we should. But we don't need to. We can join the 500 million angels that went with the devil and are warring against God. And we can go with them, but there is only those two places. We can work. We can go with the 500 million, or we go with the 100 million angels. But it'll be one or the other, because there is a judgment, and that's what we read about there in Daniel. And I'm going to just turn to those verses again in Daniel 7, verse 9 and 10. There is a judgment. Yes, we can decide who we're going to worship with all of our heart. We can decide who we're going to worship. We can withhold our worship of God. We can. We can refrain from it, not be committed to him. Or we can go ahead and worship him. Just give our undivided worship and devotion to him and service to him. Daniel 7, verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. What a description. What a description. He's described as the Ancient of Days. He's described as sitting. His garments are white as snow. The hair on his head is pure as wool. His throne was like a fiery flame. And that's what he was sitting on, this throne that looked like a fiery flame, and his wheels, whatever that is, as burning fire. And there's a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Judgment was set and the books were opened. Ten thousand times 10,000 stood before him. Yes. We can choose who we're going to serve with all of our heart, but Jesus is worthy. Thou art worthy. Jesus is the one who is worthy. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Yes. Because you have redeemed us. That's why. You redeemed us to God by thy blood. And therefore you are worthy. May we contemplate our worship. And may we give to God the worship that is due his holy name. And the end of chapter Revelation 5 verse 14 says, and the four beasts said, Amen. After every creature gave him blessing and honor and glory and power. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Maybe they're still worshiping him. I don't know that they ever stop. I don't know that they ever will. I don't know that they ever want to. But the angels are worshiping him. And let us who have received the benefit of salvation, of his goodness, that showered his grace upon us, may we worship him. May we stand for him. May we not be ashamed of him. May we be glad to identify with him. May we be his servants here. May we serve him, live for him with all of our heart. And someday, when we stand before that fiery throne, we will be received of him. And then we will reign with him forever and ever and ever. And there we can worship him forever and ever and ever. It's going to be the most wonderful experience. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're here on this earth. But this earth isn't all that there is to living. You've shown us some things beyond this earth, some things of the eternal that we need to know. And we know them, Lord. You have a throne. You have a kingdom. You reign there and rule there forever. And you direct in the affairs of this world, this earth. And you direct and rule over everything. You're Lord of all. And there you have your myriads of angels, 10,000 times 10,000, standing there to receive orders from you, standing there to worship you, standing there, worshiping around your throne and giving you glory and praise. Oh, what a wonderful time that would be. There's also another group that's going to stand before you, and it'll be us. And we'll be judged.
And then we can either experience your goodness or experience your wrath. And because of the love of Christ, and because of that shed blood, we can be made kings and priests unto God, and we can reign with you. You've given to us the opportunity of life. You've given to us the opportunity of light. And Lord, what can we do but say, thank you, Lord. I cannot pay you back. No, we can give you our love. In giving you our love, we find that we have the fullness of joy within our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is gathered here this morning. Help us, Lord, as we go through the remainder of the week, through the day, that we worship you. Take our faith, feeble as it is, Lord, and continue to strengthen it in the way. Minister to our needs. We have so many of them, Lord. And as we go through this war down here, Lord, that you would be able to see that we love you, and that we would, at the end of our life, be able to lay down our life and say, I've fought a good fight, and be able to look forward to that time that we can be with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.